Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
10 games into the season, and Seattle is right in the thick of the early battle in the U.S. division. Now, after seeing the same team for three straight games, the T-Birds prepare for three different opponents over the next week. It's one at home, four on the road. We'll talk T-Birds next on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
Well, after three games in 5 days, Seattle has spent this week hard at practice. The T-Birds readying up to finish the month of October with a home game tomorrow versus Kamloops. And then the final game of the month, we'll see the team battling their division rival Spokane. That's coming up next Tuesday over in Eastern Washington. Then they'll begin the month of November on the road, going up to Prince George to open up the month with a pair against the Cougars. We're joined now by guest co-host Andy Ide, along with the head coach Matt Odette. And Matt, the team won 1-1 in the last three games, all against the same team, the Tri-City Americans. Now, you look back on those three games, injuries definitely an issue with the loss of two of your top six forwards for most of those three games. And that has a trickle-down effect because not only are you adjusting your lines to play 5-on-5, but it also is going to affect both your power play and your penalty kill. And we saw the offense, which was averaging almost, I think, 5 goals a game in that 4-game winning streak. The goals per the last couple of games were down to 2 per game. You know, a big reason, the power play went from number 1 in the league to number 7 with those injuries. So you had scored, I think, 11 power play goals through the 4-game, or at least into the early part of that 4th game in that 4-game winning streak. And then now riding an 0-for-13. So we can always say, you know, injuries, hey, that's part of the game. We don't use them as an excuse. They are a fact of life in hockey, though, and they do affect games and certainly had an effect on the last couple against the Americans.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it just, I think, goes to show how well Hamlock's been playing and what he's been meaning to our team. Yeah, I mean, anytime you lose two key guys and you're shuffling your lines and your power plays have to change when that happens. But at the same time, I don't think our power play executed well enough, regardless of who was on it. You know, the guys that have been making good plays weren't making the same quality of plays, and, you know, that tends to stall your power play. So, you know, it does hurt to miss two top six guys, but at the same time, we have to execute better.
Yeah, we should mention that Hammer was on the number 2 power play unit, which maybe was the most effective during that stretch. So the number 1 power play unit maybe not as effective and really wasn't changed much with those injuries. And what were some of the issues you think with the number 1 power play unit where the effectiveness kind of waned over the last couple of games? Was it shot selection? It was overpassing? Was it a combination of all things coming together?
Yeah, those two for sure that you just mentioned, shot selection and overpassing, forcing things. And obviously when you're having success on the power play, when you're the number 1 power play in the league, teams are going to spend a little bit extra time on it, you know, try to counter what we're doing. And our breakout that was running pretty smoothly, you know, teams adjusted and countered that a little bit, so we didn't get in the zone as easy as we have been in the past. And in zone, yeah, guys forcing shots, poor shot selection, and not making the right shots. Sometimes you have to simplify. You know, I thought that unit didn't use Kubacek enough up top. Like, that's a pretty good option, a guy that can shoot the puck like that with two good guys around the net in Volkan and Wedman. So we kind of got away from what gave us success.
After Saturday's game, both you and Nolan Volkan kind of both talked about guys maybe gripping the sticks a little bit too tight. And we saw, you mentioned Kubacek, he passed up what looked like an open net on one of the power plays. He passed it back. Is there a mental aspect of that when the power play starts struggling, or people maybe overthinking, like you said, and instead of looking to shoot and being aggressive, they're looking for the perfect pass?
Yeah, it's just like any system. I think when it's not going well, frustration can set in, and you know, guys start pressing a little bit instead of, you know, making the right plays. And that's been the case on the power play. When it's hot, everyone's feeling good and things are clicking, but when it's not, frustration and, you know, guys kind of questioning their decision making on the ice and, you know, not making the right plays start to happen. So it's a streaky system, but we have to get back on the hot streak.
Again, you're listening to the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show. Head coach Matt Odette along with their co-host Andy Eid here. You mentioned, Matt, opponents will, when they see, hey, that team's ranked number one on the power play, let's take a look at it on video. Let's make some adjustments to slow them down. But there's an advantage, too, for Tri-City the last three games against the same opponent. They see it, and then they know they're going to see it again the next two games. They can make those adjustments maybe more readily than if you're changing opponents every night.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely helps to, you know, the preparation process when you play the same team back-to-back. You know, I think the biggest effect that our, you know, injuries did was hurt us on their breakouts. So if you remember in the Kelowna game, we executed some nice breakouts there with Hamilock and Philip and then Mountain Philip for some goals. So taking those two guys out of the equation, you know, takes out our flanks kind of there on entry. And we've got new guys in those spots trying to make do. So that was a major factor. But it's always a chess match. You're trying to stay one step ahead of the opposition. And, you know, they did a good job, you know, snuffing out our power plays.
And with Hamilock and Mount out, you had some younger guys who had to fill in. And one guy, Cody Savey, played in both those games over the weekend. And looked like he gave you some really big minutes, drew some penalties. You know, he's a physical player. It looks like he provides a spark. What did you like out of his game in those two games?
Yeah, he gave us a nice jolt there when we were short. Just moving his feet, getting up and down the ice. I think guys know when he's on the ice, he has that presence. When he's tracking that puck and getting in on the forecheck, you know, the opposition tends to get rid of the puck rather quickly. So that can be effective. You know, he's still a young kid and he's still trying to get our systems down and stuff like that. But, you know, when you play with that energy level and, you know, can get on guys on the forecheck like that, he can be a valuable piece of the puzzle.
And your bottom six, in particular, your fourth line forward group, pretty green, pretty young rookies for the most part, or guys who haven't seen a lot of time in their play here in the Western Hockey League. And obviously when a veteran's hurt and you put one of them in there, you plug them in, you want them to respond well. But I'm wondering, too, and you can correct me if this is wrong, you get a guy like that who's a 16- or a 17-year-old rookie, and he could do things probably at the Bantam and the Midget and maybe even the Junior A level. That now he can't do at this level in the Western Hockey League, and that's something that they have to learn. And obviously, you know, you've got systems in place to help them do that, but they have to learn at a new level, a higher level, that you're going to have to pay more attention to detail, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think a lot of these young kids, you know, really didn't have systems, you know, before this. So it's hard. You're starting from scratch with a lot of guys, and you know, a lot of those young players were obviously really good players at their minor hockey league level, or minor hockey level, so they didn't have to, you know, they could get away with a lot of stuff because they were that much more skilled than the other kids. So that's definitely not the case here. You know, obviously those young kids going against older players, you know, we have to rely on structure and our system so everyone's on the same page. But yeah, for example, we were talking to Simon Kubacek yesterday, you know, on some system stuff. Obviously, the language is an issue, but, you know, he mentioned he never had systems before he got here, so it's all new to him. So we're playing catch-up with some of these kids and, you know, kind of starting from scratch with the system part of the game.
And for those forwards, those young forwards, you know, the ones who pick it up and implement it quicker, they're going to get more ice time. So, you know, if a guy wants ice time, you want to pick up those systems. You want to show, and I think, you know, we brought up the example of Cody Savey. Was he a guy who picked up the systems? And he'd been here a little bit last year. He's been through the program some, that it might catch on with him more so than maybe a younger guy like Jared Davidson, who has shown some signs that he's got some potential, but maybe it might take longer for him to pick up on those systems.
Yeah, and actually, you know, thinking about Davidson, he's a pretty smart kid, and that's one thing that's come pretty quickly with him is him grasping the systems. You know, we feel comfortable there in those situations where he's got to, you know, make the right reads with our systems. And, you know, I think earlier we had him on the penalty kill a little bit. He showed that he could handle that and know what he's doing on it. So some kids, it comes a little bit easier than others, and they can grasp it quicker, and which obviously helps them get into the lineup and, and become a regular that much faster. But and it's tougher for some kids. You know, Cody, he's a raw talent. He's, you know, can play the game. He's got the skill package to be successful here. But I think one of his things that he needs to work on is grasping the systems a little bit better. So each young kid has different strengths. And for Davidson, it's been his ability to grasp the systems. And, you know, it comes a little bit quicker for some other guys than others.
And Friday night in Kennewick, you went with Schwabius in net, and it's a second start. How in both starts he's kept you in the game. He probably deserved a better outcome than he got. How impressive is it for you, for a young guy who sits behind Hughes? You know what you're going to get. Hughes is going to get the bulk of the starts. To have to come in every fourth or fifth game and perform at that high level, that's got to be something that makes you happy as the coach.
Yeah, he's done great. You know, he's a kid that works extremely hard. You know, we know we're going to get top-notch effort from him each and every day in practice and in game. So it's nice to see him get in there and play well. I know it's not easy when you're not playing regularly. But for Schwebe, he's actually playing a lot more than some of these other backups that don't even don't even sniff the ice. So we want to keep our guys active. You know, obviously he was going to get the majority of the starts, but we want Schwebe to, you know, get his share of starts and not be on the shelf for too long.
Did it help that he had a pretty, you know, intense, I guess, battle in training camp with Eric Ward for that number two role? That kind of maybe sharpened him going into the season?
Yeah, I think so. You know, kept them, both those guys, sharp and on their toes and playing well. Both those guys fared very well in the preseason there and made our decision very tough. But, yeah, all that healthy competition is good to keep guys sharp. And, you know, it's the same for every position. You know, guys want to compete and move themselves up the depth chart.
And he's a younger goaltender, obviously, than Liam. When guys are playing in front of Husey, we talked about it. They kind of know what to expect with him. Cole, they haven't played a lot in front of. Do you think there's a mental approach that we got the second guy in there, we got to be a little sharper, we got to support him a little more?
I don't think so. I think I don't know. I think guys have confidence in both of our goaltenders. You know, we know we're going to get, you know, good goaltending, no matter who's in there. So I think guys, you know, for the most part, are focused on their games and knowing what they got to do and are confident in both guys.
As we said, Seattle is preparing for a pair of games on the weekend. The first of the two is going to be on home ice, and that coming up against the Kamloops Blazers will be the last home game for Seattle until November 9th. When they come back and take on Kelowna, it will be the first pub night of the season. For $220, you get 10 premium tickets to the game, 10 beers to drink at the game, plus 10 T-Bird hats you can wear. So get your friends together for the pub night. Again, that's coming up November 9th against the Kelowna Rockets. More details at SeattleThunderbirds.com. Pub night brought to you by Dave and Buster's. Well, the T-Birds, we've talked about it through the first 10 games of the season, how young they are on the back end, primarily because of injury to their most veteran defenseman. But it's hard to believe that now with Tishke out, that Reese Harsh is the T-Birds' most experienced defenseman. Seems like he was just a rookie a couple of years ago when he was. But he'll join us when we come back the second half of the show, along with more with Andy and the head coach, Matt Audette, right here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
Once again, ahead of a couple of games coming up this weekend, it is the Coaches Show. The head coach, Matt Audette, will rejoin us momentarily. We're here along with our co-host, Andy Iden. Our guest is T-Bird defenseman Reese Harsh. And Reese, your third year with the T-Birds, and I go back almost, I think it was 4 years ago, maybe you were with the team. They were going, I think, in that series, the playoff series against Portland, and I don't know if you had signed yet. You were on the verge of signing with the team. It seemed like that was yesterday. I was talking to you, and you weren't even playing with the team yet. You were just kind of up and visiting. Has it gone by quickly for you?
Yeah, it's gone by pretty quick, honestly. Yeah, I remember that just like it was yesterday, me and Wedman coming down, hanging out with the team. It was definitely a great experience being down, hanging out, you know, watching such good players play, and yeah, it's gone by pretty fast.
And so much has passed, obviously, since then. Member of a championship team your rookie season, and now with Jared Tishke on the shelf at the moment, you are the veteran back on the blue line. I mean, that has to be a little bit shocking to you that, you know, you had those two 20-year-olds in Ottenbright and Strand last year, and now here you are as the senior member of that group.
Yeah, it's a big shock. I mean, I definitely learned a lot from those guys, you know, just watching Otto for the 2 years I was here, and, you know, even Strander, even though he came a little late, but they're good defensemen and learned a lot of stuff from those guys.
And this summer, you got to have quite an experience. You went to a rookie camp with the Vegas Golden Knights and got to play there. What was that experience like?
It was amazing. There was a lot of good players. It was shocking a little bit. I was one of the youngest defensemen there. But it was fun. It was a lot of good players. You know, got to meet up with Keegs and hung out with him a little bit. And it was a good time.
How does that process work? Obviously, kind of a free agent, not drafted in the NHL draft. Teams, they need bodies. They need players to go to development and rookie camps, and you've got an agent. So are there multiple opportunities? Was this a one-off deal? And then how do you decide if maybe one or two different teams are looking at you? Do you look at their roster to see what's the best fit for you? How did that work out that you ended up going to development camp with Las Vegas?
There's a couple other teams, and I think the reason I picked Vegas is they showed the most interest with me, and they called me first right after the draft and everything. So, yeah, that was pretty much the reason why I picked them, and I thought that they could use a couple of right-handed defensemen at their camp and everything, and I thought that was the best chance for me to go there and make a splash.
Had nothing to do with the glitz and the glamour of Vegas for a guy from Grand Prairie, Alberta.
I mean, a little bit. I think the lights are the same. So,
talk about your development, because we've seen you progressively jump up more and more to add to your offensive game, the power play, and you had a big goal here in the win against Tri-City, the Tuesday game, the first of those three, a power play goal. Talk about kind of progressing up to getting to a point where you're now on the power play, and it can be an integral part of that power play.
I definitely had to work hard. I got a little taste of it when I was 17 at the beginning of the year, playing on the power play with Otto, and, you know, that just kind of got to see what it was like, what it took to be on there, and then last year I kind of got into more of a regular spot and figured out that I could actually shoot a puck. Never really knew that until last year, so, yeah, it was interesting to see.
And you guys have a young defensive core. So we talk about you being the veteran guy back there now. How do you see your role amongst those younger players?
I think that it's, you know, we have a pretty solid top four in the league. I mean, all our defensemen are solid. I mean, you look down our depth lineup, you got a lot of depth back there. I mean, I think Tyrell Bauer, he's really, really been good for us this season. He's a really good shutdown defenseman. And, you know, I think, just trying to be a leader for all those young guys, you know, like Otto was to me. So they have someone to look up to and someone to, you know, talk to and stuff.
We talked about the excitement of getting to go to development camp with Vegas, but it was kind of a frustrating start to the season for you. Obviously, you missed training camp. First game of the season, got dinged up a little bit early in one of the games. Do you feel like you kind of got a setback to where you had to go all the way back to kind of the start and you had to kind of like treat the start of the season almost as start as training camp? How did that frustrate you? How did it hurt your development the start of the season to be out with the injuries?
It was pretty frustrating. I mean, you never want to start off the season with an injury or miss any games because of that. So, I never really got any chance to warm up playing any exhibition games or even in training camp. So I kind of just went in straight into games. But Phil's been great, you know, helping me get back, and the coaches have been helping me develop and get back on track. So I think I'm back to good now.
Mentioning Phil, always get you a little pub there. Mention Phil, you got to throw his name in every show. I think somebody mentions his name. Is he on a commission? Talk about, you come to the season. Was there a plan for you to be with a certain defensive partner? Was Tishka in that mix? Did that have any effect on the start of the season and who you're partnered with or how it works?
I don't really think there was really nothing was set in stone or anything. I think you really just have to earn your spot. I would expect to be with Tishka once he gets back. I mean, we played a bit when we were 17, then lots of time last year when we were 18, so I think we got some pretty good chemistry going.
And what about working now with Owen Williams? Is he a complimentary player? Do you have similar games? How does that affect you? I mean, out on the ice with some guy that maybe you haven't seen as a partner much?
Yeah, I mean, this year was definitely different. I think this is the first time I've ever played with Willie, but he's a great defenseman. He moves the puck well. He skates well. He's got a good shot. He reads the play, and I think more confidence with him, he's going to be a real elite player in this league.
We talked about your offensive game growing. As a defenseman, do you get more joy out of scoring a goal on a power play or shutting down a guy on a rush?
I mean, honestly, thinking from a defenseman, I think shutting down guys on a rush, especially if it's late in the game, I mean, that's probably the best thing, you know, shut down a 6-on-5 or 3-on-2. I think that's just a great feeling.
But a game-winning power play goal is pretty up there, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's all right, too.
Well, Reese, again, it's kind of surprising to know that you are the senior defenseman on this team right now. You were a rookie on the championship team. It was just a couple of years ago, but great to see your development. Continued success with the team as you go forward this season.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Matt, obviously, last year you had a much more seasoned defense. You had two 20-year-olds, and this year your oldest defenseman available to you right now is Reese Harsh, a 19-year-old. What's his development been like? He was a rookie on that championship team his second year last year. You could see the confidence grow. He kind of stepped up offensively a little more, got some power play time. A little bit of a setback coming into this year with the injuries. But talk about his development. Here's a guy who was kind of a mid to late round draft pick for you, but he has developed into somebody you can rely on now.
Yeah, for sure. He's coming along nicely. I think the second half of that championship season, he kind of solidified himself as a regular, helped round out our D-core. So we had, six solid defensemen that year. I think it was him and Strand as the 5-6 on that team. And, it's a pretty solid D-core, for a team to win a championship. So I think he springboarded off that success into a more of a regular role with more responsibilities last year, and what we saw him kind of emerge as a guy that can play on the power play and contribute with some points there. So with the slower start this year with the injury, I think he's just starting to come into form. I think we're seeing some of the real Harshy the last couple of games there, which is a real positive for us. And I think he'll continue to take on more in the next few games there and be a real top guy for us.
You've talked a couple times this year when there's been struggles with that defense about communication issues on the ice. And when you mentioned that, are you talking about them communicating with each other, communicating with the forwards, all that? Like, what's the communication that you would like to see?
Yeah, all of the above. If you're not talking defensively, it's going to make it very difficult to sort things out. There's communication that needs to happen. When the rush is coming at you, do you need to talk to the forwards on the back check on who they need to be picking up? And when the puck comes into our zone, everybody needs to be communicating with each other on who the low forward's going to be, communicating switches. It's tough when the traffic starts to happen, you can get tangled up with guys. You need to be able to identify your man, and if you get tangled up, be able to make proper switches. So there's all kinds of communication that needs to happen. And I think in today's game, it's tough. Guys just don't talk as much as they did in the past. And I blame mouth guards. but, yeah, guys are chewing on mouth guards and stuff like that, and they got the mouth guards in their mouth, and it makes it hard for them to talk. So we're, it's always a work in progress to get, first of all, get guys to keep their fitted mouth guards in their mouth so they can communicate. It's funny, on the ice, we'll be at the board, and I'll just randomly call out a guy to yell something out, like, my guy, and see if he can do it with his mouth guard in. So it's sometimes the mouth guard comes flying out, and yeah, so that's a work in progress. But communication just isn't the same on the ice as it used to be.
And yet I always get the question, who's the best chirper on the team? Yet they can chirp.
Mouth guard comes out for that.
Yeah.
Another question I'll get a lot, and I also hear a lot, and it's not just at this level, too. You'll hear it sometimes in media scrums at the NHL level. Player X is out of the lineup. When's he coming back, coach? And the coach will say, hey, he's not here. I'm not worried about it. I'm only worried about the guys I've got here. It's not a slight to that injured player. You have no control over that. You do have to work with the guys you have, and you have to give them confidence, whether it's practice or games. You've got to let that guy know, hey, I trust you to go out there and play.
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely used to doing that. yeah, and exactly right. I mean, you know, it's wasted energy thinking about what could be with guys, certain guys in the lineup. The fact of the matter is we don't have, for example, Jared Tishka to work with right now. So, you know, we don't put him completely out of our mind. Obviously, we're concerned about him and we want him to get healthy. But, you know, when we're formulating our, you know, D pairs and systems and power plays, and, you know, we plan it without him and we rely on the guys and have confidence in the guys that are in the lineup.
Well, you have to be excited to see a different team after seeing Tri-City three straight. You've got different opponents in the games this weekend and then going into next week as well. First up, the Kamloops Blazers. You know, they've got a player like Jermaine Lowen, recently an NHL drafted guy. He's a late to the game of hockey kind of player. Great story, you know, when you look at his background, but he's a physical player. He's got a good skill set offensively. He can move well. Just when a player like that's on the ice, you want to obviously focus on the entire team you're going up against, but you have to be aware of a guy like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I still have some nightmares from last year, the two late goals that he scored to beat us, but, yeah, he's a really good player. He's a force. You know, obviously a guy that uses his size very well. He's a kind of prototypical power forward there, and, you know, he's on their top line, and we obviously have to be aware when they're on the ice. And, you know, it's a tough assignment for whoever's got it to contain that guy. You know, but there's some things that we can do to help try to slow him and that line down. And, you know, hopefully we'll get the matchups that we want.
And then Saturday, your guys are back up in Langley to play the Vancouver Giants. You've already played them once up there. When you look at them on film, have they changed any from the first time you saw them? That was still pretty early in the season.
Yeah, I think they're pretty similar. I think they maybe lost a couple defensemen depth-wise. But, yeah, obviously they're a great team. That's off to a great start. And, you know, I think that's a good measuring stick for us to see how we can stack up against that team. I don't know what they are, 10-1 or 10-2 right now. So, obviously running on all cylinders. And, you know, that'll be definitely a difficult game Saturday night.
And one of those losses was to you guys. Do you guys have a little more confidence going up there knowing that you've already gone up to that building and won?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but we certainly didn't play well that game. I know they, you know, they maybe would have deserved a better fate there in that game, but we managed to get the job done. But there's definitely a lot of improvement that we can make from that game, and it is a confidence builder knowing we didn't play our best game and still won. But there's definitely a lot more that, you know, we can bring to the table against them.
Well, again, the T-Birds with a pair on the weekend. Then don't forget also into next week, next Tuesday, they're on the road in Spokane. But first up, the home game against the Kamloops Blazers tomorrow night, 7:35 here at the Accesso Showwear Center. The final home game of October, won't be back until November 9th when they will host the Kelowna Rockets on Pub Night. That'll wrap up this week's edition of the Coaches Show. Thanks again to Andy, our guest Reese Harsh, and the head coach, Matt Odette. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow night from the Accesso Showwear Center, and Saturday from Langley for T-Birds Hockey on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds Hockey 1090 KJR.